And we know ultimately God's word will stand, and we got to stand on God's word. 2 Corinthians this morning, if you will, 2 Corinthians, the word of God. It is still our rule book for faith and practice. By God's grace, it'll continue to be yours as well. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And we'll start reading in verse number 9 of 2 Corinthians and chapter number 5, verse number 9. The Bible says there, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Verse 12, for we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much this morning, Lord, for loving us. We thank you for these that have come to hear your word. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We ask you now to speak to our hearts. Lord, we pray as you're with the song service, and what a blessing that was. We pray you'd be at the preaching hour. I pray, Lord, that Holy Spirit, thou art invited in this place. I pray you'd roam up and down these aisles and help us, Lord, just to get real with you this morning. I pray that you'd convict sinners of sin, that those who are not saved would be saved. I pray you'd convict saints of sin, that they draw closer to thee. And Lord, when we pray you'd cleanse me of my sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. Help me this morning to preach only what thus saith the Lord. We want to be sure to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory that's due your holy name. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. I want you to notice back with me in your Bible, verse number 20 of 2 Corinthians and chapter number 5. Notice Paul makes a statement there. He says, now then, watch this. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. The help of God, I want to preach on that this morning. We are ambassadors for Christ. There are two references in the Word of God where believers are referred to as ambassadors. We see it here in verse number 20. It's as well seen in Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse 19 and 20. Well, the Bible says this, Paul writing there, Paul is requesting prayer in Ephesians chapter number 6. He's requesting prayer that God would help him to fulfill his duty as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. He writes in Ephesians chapter 6 this, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that means the words of the right speech would be given unto me, Paul says. Watch this. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In other words, Paul wants to be faithful in his position Paul wants to be faithful in the obligation that the Lord has given to him. You see, Paul understood something that every single one of us need to understand this morning. Paul understood that whether or not he liked it, he is an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Paul understood that, listen, whether he accepted it or rejected it, whether he was successful at it or was not successful at it, whether or not he was faithful at it or was not faithful at it, whether he embraced it or whether he did not embrace it, Paul understood that he is an ambassador, a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, every single one of us this morning who are saved by the grace of God need to understand that. It would help us if we could understand that whether or not we accept it or reject it, whether or not we're faithful to it, whether or not we're fulfilling that role, that position that God has put us in, still either way, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We're the only ones that He has. God has not chosen anyone else to give the message of the gospel to. He's not chosen anyone else to be His representative. And you and I are the ones, either way, good or bad, we're the only ones that He has. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. The world's crowd is not His representative. The religious crowd is not His representatives. But you and I, who are blood-bought, saved by the grace of God, are His representatives. We've been given that responsibility. We're the ones that's been given that privilege to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And what a great privilege and what a great responsibility that it is. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Now, the fact that God calls us ambassadors, there's so many things in this passage that I can pull out. We'll see how far God allows us to go. But it's amazing when you begin to dig into that, what an ambassador is and all that. But what does it mean that, what does it say about us, the fact that God calls us ambassadors? What's that mean to us? Well, I want you to notice it says it means several things about who we are. It says several things about who we are and about what we are to do. Number one, we see it's our title. It's our title. That's what it is. Verse number 20, he says we are ambassadors for Christ. That is our title. I want you to notice, though, this morning, just two words right before the Lord gives us our title as an ambassador. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 20 again. Paul says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Those two words, now then. It's as if there, those two words now then, they indicate that something previously has taken place to bring us to this point. In other words, it's like the word therefore. We've got to back up and see what this is there for. As Paul writes there, it's like something else has taken place. Something else has preceded this that leads him to the conclusion. Paul says, now then, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So what is it that's taken place where you and I have gained the title ambassadors for Jesus Christ? I believe it's found in verse number 18 of our text. He says, and all things are of God, watch this, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. You see, you and I have been reconciled to Jesus Christ. You and I have been brought back to God. You and I have been saved by the grace of God. You see, the Bible says very clearly that before you and I got saved, there's enmity between man and God. It goes back ever since the fall of man, when Adam and Eve entered into that sin, when they partook of that forbidden fruit and disobeyed God. All the way back since that time, God has had something against man. You see, the fact that we need to be reconciled is not because man's done or God's done something to man, but because man has done something to God, and we've sinned against the holy God. We've disobeyed Him, and so God had something against us. Our sin and our iniquity has separated us from God. Isaiah said that. He said, your sin and your iniquities have separated you from your God and have hid His face far from thee. So God loves me, God loves you, but He can't look upon my sin. But what is it that's happened? Well, we've been reconciled, those of us who have accepted that payment that Jesus Christ made on the cross, accepted that for payment for our sins, we've been reconciled to God. Romans puts it this way in chapter 5, verse 10, for if, when we were enemies, see, we were all enemies. Some people believe, well, I've never done anything bad enough to go to hell. I'm a good person. No, Paul says when we, he includes himself, for when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Not by your good works, Not by being good enough long enough. Not by holding on, holding out. He says we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You say, well, what happened, preacher? I'll tell you what happened. We were reconciled to God by the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. And now it's possible for us to have friendship. And now it's possible for us to have fellowship. And now it's possible for you and I to have favor with God and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is now possible for us. Why? Because Jesus Christ has paid our sin debt, and so we accept that as payment for our sin. We can be brought back to God. The debt's been satisfied by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we've been reconciled. Let me put it to you this way. There was a father that had a disagreement with his son, and they were not on talking terms. He gets a telegram. This son gets a telegram that if he ever wants to see his mother alive again, he better get there right away. She lay on her deathbed. The son comes to the room there, and he's standing by his mother's bed, the son on the one side and the father on the other side. There, as they stood there, the mother pleaded with them and through tears cried and tried to get them to speak to one another, and they never would even talk to one another. She tried to get them to make things right as both of them stood there. Finally, she takes her husband's hand and has her husband's hand on the one side of the bed and has her son's hand with her last breath. She brings their hands together there up to her bosom and she breathes her last breath. The man and the son just stood there for a moment without still saying a word. And finally, they burst into tears and begin to speak to one another, begin to get things right with one another. You say, what happened? I'll tell you, her death had brought them back together again, reconciled them back. And it's a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you and I on the cross. Many of you have heard me say it before, but when Jesus hung there, I want you to understand that what He did was He took the hand of God in one hand and He took the hand of man in the other hand, and through His sacrificial death, through His blood on the cross, listen, our sin was nailed to the cross by Jesus Christ, and there as He hung on the cross, He became the bridge for man to come back to God, and He took the hand of man and He took the hand of God and He brought them back in to fellowship with one another by His death on the cross. Ephesians 2:13 says this, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh, that means near, by the blood of Christ. We've been reconciled. He says, now then, we've been reconciled. And then the Lord committed and commissioned and gave to you and I this task, this title of ambassador. He given that to you and I. As new creatures, the Bible says we're new creatures here in verse number 17. And as new creatures, you know what we have? We have a new calling. We're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our job as ambassadors is not to reconcile God to men as though God were partly to blame. It's not for us to bring God back to man. No, it's for us to bring man back to God. For it's man who's went astray, and it's man who went away. The Bible tells us that there's none that doeth good, no, not one. All have gone astray, all have become filthy, all have walked away from God in our sin and our unrighteousness. You see, when Adam and Eve there in the garden made that decision, they could have made the decision not to take the forbidden fruit, and they could have chose God. But no, they chose sin. And because you and I have chose sin, we've chosen to be separated from God. We have to be reconciled. But He's given to you and I the ministry of reconciliation. He says right here, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. In other words, now that we've been saved ourselves, we become His spokesperson. We become His representative. That's our title. That's our position. So what is an ambassador? I want you to listen to the definition. You look it up yourself. It's a great definition of an ambassador. A minister, it's what you are, if you're saved, a minister of the highest rank employed by one prince or state at the court of another to manage the public concerns of his own prince or state and representing the power and dignity of his sovereign. That's the definition of your title. You've heard of job descriptions? There it is. That's my job description. That's your job description. As a child of God, we are ambassadors. In other words, we're, first of all, an official agent. He says there that it's a minister of the highest rank. They're employed. They're an agent of the government. We're an official agent. We're an official agent of one country, watch this, on a mission in another country. An ambassador. That's what they are. You see, John Christopher Stevens, you may remember him over in Benghazi, the one who were killed. He was an ambassador to Benghazi, Libya, right? But he represented another country. He represented the United States of America. And you and I are official agents of a country, one country, on a mission to another country. An ambassador represents their country, for instance, in his case, America, in a foreign country. But you and I are official agents of one country. We're an official agent of heaven, and we represent our country here in another country, here in this world. We represent heaven while we're here on this earth. You see, when we get this right in our mind, and when we understand the way the Lord looks at us and who we're supposed to be, boy, doesn't it make things different in how we think and how we view what we're doing and how we're living. We represent heaven here on earth. Now, as an agent, an ambassador acts on the behalf of another. For instance, when our ambassador goes to a foreign country, when he goes off to, you know, we got ambassadors to a lot of different places, but when they go to their respective country, whether it be Benghazi, Libya, or wherever, they can act with the full authority of the government in the areas where the leader has given them permission. You understand that? So when an ambassador goes, they have full authority, full power to go over and act and speak with the full authority of the United States of America. They have the full power. They have full privileges to speak on the behalf of the government they represent. Do you realize this morning? You see, I think if we'd get this right in our mind, we'd be a whole lot better soul winners. We'd be a whole lot better in our witnessing. We'd be a whole lot better in reaching people for Jesus Christ. You realize as ambassadors of Christ, we have full authority to witness and to preach the gospel to others in this world, this other country. We have the full authority to speak on the behalf of the hierarchy in heaven. Think about this. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 and 20, Jesus says there, He says, "All power is given unto me." Now, He's speaking not necessarily of the word dunamis there, not the, we think we know God's all powerful, not that, but He's speaking of authority. He says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Then He says this, "Go ye," to His disciples, you and I, "therefore." What's He saying? Based on the fact that I have all power, based on the fact I have all authority, I'm committing that authority to you. All power has been given unto me. "Go ye, therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I will be with you alway, even until the end. Amen." He said, "Go ye, therefore." And you and I, listen, you and I should not go around timid. You and I should not go around shy. You and I should not go around apologetic about sharing the gospel. Listen, we have the full authority of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the God of heaven has given us the right to go and tell this world, not only the right, but the command to go and tell this world, Jesus saves. Jesus paid it all. He paid the price where man could be reconciled to God. I want you to hold your place here. Turn quickly to Matthew chapter 16 for a moment, because I want you to mark this place. It might help you when you're thinking about this. I want you to even read this, if you think about it, before you go soul winning every single time. You ought to read it every morning, because you ought to be soul winning every day. Matthew 16, verse 15. We'll start there, verse 15. "He saith unto them," Matthew 16, verse 15, "He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" Here's what I want you to notice. Watch this now, Jesus speaking. "And I will give unto thee," watch this, "the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Jesus says to his disciples, I'll give unto thee, this authority he's given, I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Do you understand this morning the power of our witness and our work? Do you understand the authority that's been given to you and I as ambassadors? And so the next time you're out on soul winning, don't walk up to the door as if you're not supposed to be there. Don't walk up there as if you're out of place. You've been given permission, not only permission, you've been given authority. You've been given the command and the permission and the authority to be there by the God of heaven, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. He says, whatsoever thou bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Well, I tell you, people walk around so many times afraid to even hand somebody a gospel tract or tell them about Jesus. Listen, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Whether or not how we're fulfilling our duty, either way, we're ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Who knows that there's been some better ambassadors than others throughout the years of our country. Paul says we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. There's some things I want to tell you about ambassadors. An ambassador, first of all, is not there to represent his own views. When an ambassador goes to another country, he's not there to represent himself or his own views, but he's there to represent the country and the hierarchy of the country in which he's from. He simply says what he's been commissioned to say, and that's all he says. Can I tell you this? People don't need my opinion. They don't need your opinion. They don't need us adding something, taking something away from the Word of God. We just have a commission to go and say what God has told us to say. And that's it. Well, some preachers should need to get a hold of this. Can I tell you? Because sometimes, well, preacher, you know, if you just water it down a little bit and just change it. I've had people say, well, you know, you can't. I preached on the radio. I told you before, and a fellow showed up, and he was praising the great message and all, and he said, but I tell you, he said, you can't build a church on preaching like that. I said, sir, I appreciate the compliment. You knew the butt was coming anyway. I appreciate the compliment. I said, if God can't do it that way, then God can't do it anyway. I have a commission not to go and tell them what I think or what I believe, not to lean to my own understanding, but I have a commission as an ambassador to commit to them the oracles and the Word of God. That's all we're to go and do is speak on the behalf of Christ. They don't need my opinion. They need the Word of God. They need the Word of God. I'm not the king. I'm simply an ambassador. Something else. An ambassador does not speak to please his audience, but the king who sent him. Theodore Epp was a founder of Back to the Bible, there, the radio ministry, and he realized something was wrong one day when he noticed he hadn't been receiving critical mail any longer. It'd been a while since he used to receive critical mail all the time, and so he became convicted that he wasn't challenging the flock enough. He was maybe watering it down or dressing it up a little too much, and he became convicted of this, so he changed his preaching. He said, I'm afraid when I'm pleasing everybody else, I'm not pleasing God. And he went on and he said, and pleasing God's the only thing that counts. You see, that doesn't mean that we're to be unkind. That does not mean that we have to be ugly. That does not mean that, you know, we should have a wrong spirit. But it does mean that most importantly, God should agree with what I say. There ought to be always one in our audience that we're concerned with above any and everybody else. We live in a world today of political correctness, and everybody's worried about being politically correct, but can I tell you, there's not too many people today that's concerned about being biblically correct. And can I tell you what, when you stand before God, He's not going to judge you of how politically correct you were, but He will judge you, and He'll judge me of how biblically correct that we were, because we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Now, if our position offends somebody because we stand on the Word of God, let us have to be offended. We'll pray for them. But if my disposition offends somebody, in other words, my attitude, then we need to look at ourselves and have the right spirit. But we're not there to please others. We have one mission, and that is to please our King that sent us. Colossians 3:23 says this, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. I want to tell every one of you who do anything in the ministry, you need to make this a very important verse in your life. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily. In word, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Because can I tell you something? The praise will stop. The accolades will stop. All that kind of stuff will stop. When you're doing it for man, then you're going to stop. Let me tell you something. Brother Jim, you work those young people. Listen, as great as jobs you're doing, as great jobs you're doing with the music and all those other things, I'm telling you, listen, do not worry about pleasing men. Don't worry about pleasing what other people think. But worry about pleasing the Lord, because He never changes and His standard never changes. So if we're doing what He's told us to do, then we'll be pleasing to His sight. But it's when we get to the point where we're trying to please men, I'm going to tell you, those are the ones that don't last very long. Something else about an ambassador. Because he's to please the Lord, not men, an ambassador does not take rejection personally. He does not take rejection. He realizes that he is accepted or rejected not on his merit, not because of who he is, but because of who he represents. In John 15, the Bible says this, Jesus speaking, "If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you." You're not greater than me. You're not, Jesus says, you're not above being persecution. No servant's greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Other words, what they think about me, how they treat and treated me, Jesus says, that's how they're going to think about and that's how they're going to treat you. Why? Because you represent me. You're my ambassador. So don't take it personal. You see, when someone slams the door in your face, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the title ambassador, not only is he an official agent, but I want you to notice also, he is a representative. A representative, as a representative, he stands, watch this, in the place of his sovereign. Think about that. He stands in the, he says, I pray thee in Christ's stead, he stands in the place of his sovereign. The honor and reputation of his country literally is placed in his hands. Everything he does, everything he says, reflects upon the country and the a regime in which he represents. You and I, listen, are representatives of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And whether or not you realize it or not, I'm afraid many times we don't, or we don't care. Everything I say, everything I do, the way that I act and conduct myself, we represent Jesus Christ. You've heard said that what people see in us is sometimes the only thing they know about the Lord Jesus Christ. And as an ambassador, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. We either bring Him honor or dishonor. And boy, we go off on the tangent, but some things in the news this week. What kind of representation was that of an ambassador of Jesus Christ? Something else about an ambassador. An ambassador is not elected, but they're appointed. They don't hold an election, but they're appointed. You and I have been appointed by Christ. Look with me at verse number 18 again. And all things are of God. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you, as though God was begging you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. You see, we've not been elected, we've been appointed. He said, we pray you in Christ's stead. It's the Lord that's put us in this place. We've not been appointed as ambassadors by men, but we've been placed into this position by the Lord. And you know the good thing about that? We can never be impeached, because His ambassadors have a permanent position. Not only that, you know what an ambassador is? They're a foreigner. An ambassador, when the fellow Christopher John Stevens over there in Benghazi, he was not a citizen of that country. He was a foreigner to that country. They're not a citizens of the country that they're sent to. So therefore, his loyalties and our loyalties, an ambassador's loyalty, should be to the country that he is a citizen of. I'm glad that this world is not my home. I'm just passing through, amen. And our loyalties, and listen, everything that we are and everything that we're loyal to and everything that we hold dear to us and everything that we obey ought to not be the things of the world, but it ought to be the things of God. We're citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:20 says this, for our conversation is in heaven. That's our lifestyle, by the way, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:19 says we're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Think about that. You and I, present tense now, we are fellow citizens of the saints, those that have went on before us, and of the household of God. That's where our loyalty should lie. That's where our obedience, that's who our obedience should lie, should represent the Lord, okay? Now, there was a fellow by the name of George Shultz who was a Secretary of State during the Reagan administration. He used to keep a large globe in his office there, and as new ambassadors would come on or come in, at least interview for the position, he would always tell them, he would take them over to that globe, and he would say, now, the last thing you have to do is you have to go over to that globe, and you have to prove to me that you can identify your country. Now, most of those who were interviewed, they would go over and they would spin the globe and they would find the country in which they were headed to and they would point it out. Well, he had an old friend, Senate Majority Leader Mike Mansfield, who was also appointed as an ambassador to Japan, and he put him through the same test. He brought him in, and just before he said, look, he said, you got to go over there and you got to be able to point out the country you're going to. Well, Mr. Mansfield got it right. Because he went over and spun the globe and put his hand on the United States of America. And he said, that's my country. That's my country. He was interviewed, this Shultz, in 1993. He says this to Brian Lamb on C-SPAN. He said, I've told that story subsequently to all the ambassadors going out. He said, I would tell them, never forget when you're over there in that country, that your country is the United States of America. You're there to represent us, take care of our interests, and never forget it. And you're representing the best country in the world. Can I tell you something? You and I, as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, we represent a country that's out of this world, that's better than anything in this world. We're representative of the greatest country there is, even outside of this world. Our loyalties ought to be to heaven and to the God of heaven, because that's where our citizenship lies. There's a man by the name of John Galbraith. Heard this story some time ago. He was a noted economist in 1900s. He was called upon by many dignitaries to come and help sort out the financial difficulties there the government had, as if they, you know, especially in the economic markets. And he wrote this story in his autobiography about his housekeeper. Listen to what he said. He said, it had been a wearying day, and I asked Emily to hold all telephone calls while I had a nap. Shortly thereafter, the phone rang. Lyndon Johnson was calling from the White House. Get me Ken Galbraith. This is Lyndon Johnson. He's sleeping, Mr. President. He said not to disturb him. Well, wake him up. I want to talk to him. No, Mr. President, I work for him, not for you. Now, Ken Galbraith says, when I called the president back, said he was couldn't hardly control his pleasure, and he said, tell that woman I want her here in the White House. You see, Emily, this housekeeper, understood something. She understood an important truth. She understood that she was a servant to one and only one. She understood that her allegiance and her obedience and her loyalties should be explicitly to this one person. Can I tell you something? Now, there's no cause for us to be disobedient to authority until that authority says that something contrary to God. But can I tell you something? I don't care if it's the President of the United States and it's fixing to come to this. In fact, I believe it already has. If he's passing laws and making demands that go directly in the face, flies directly in the face of God and the Word of God, then you ought to obey God rather than man. We don't have to march to the beat of this world's drum. It's not our country. This world is not our home. But our loyalties have to be to heaven and to the God of heaven. An ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're foreigners. No, that means we're supposed to be different. How many of you can tell when you see a foreigner in the United States of America? You see, you can tell the difference. We're supposed to be different. Our loyalty should be to heaven and the God of heaven. Our talk should be different. Our walk should be different. We should look different. We should smell different. We should talk different. We should act different. We should have different customs. I want to read to you something in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, chapter number 4, this is what the Bible says here. 1 Peter, chapter number 4, verse number 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revealings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. That's who we were. Watch this. Verse 4. Wherein they, that's the world, they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. They think it strange. You know the world, to the Christians who really act like Christians, they think it's strange why in the world you come to church three times a week. They think it's strange that you don't smoke, chew, or go with girls that do. And they think it's strange that all of these things that we hold near and dear to our Christian faith and to because of the fact we have a relationship with Jesus Christ and because we have a position as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, he says, they think it's strange. In fact, they talk about you, he said. We're foreigners. We're supposed to be different. When an ambassador goes to a foreign country, he don't act the way they act. He has his own customs. He has. There are many things that they do that's foreign to him. Now, if our president goes, he'll do whatever they do. Okay, but an ambassador, he goes ahead and he has his own customs. He don't abide by theirs. As Christians in this world, I understand that we live in the world, but we're not of the world. We have to live in this world, but we're not of the world. We shouldn't follow the trend of this world. We should not desire the trinkets of this world. We should not look like the world, act like the world, live like the world, or even love like the world. But we are not of this world. We're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're of heaven. As an ambassador, see, that's not who we are. This world's not our home. Things are not our home, but we have our own customs, like modest dress. We have our own customs like a holy right talk. We have our own customs like godly music. We have our own customs like holy lives. We have our own customs like reading our Bible and praying and witnessing. You see, these are things that are becoming of a Christian, of an ambassador of Christ, because we're citizens of heaven. Something else about an ambassador. An ambassador is given written instructions. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Why? Because it's profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. That's not sinless, but complete, throughly furnished unto all good work. We've been given written instructions. We have a mandate. It is the Word of God. He's a temporary resident. When an ambassador goes to another country, he has no real investments there where he lives. He's a temporary resident. That's not his home. This world's not our home, as we said. And he does not invest in that country where he serves as an ambassador. It goes on and says what? This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. that ambassador from that other country is not investing in their stocks. He's not investing in that country. He's not buying real estate there. And my real estate, we ought to invest. Nothing wrong with having a home. Nothing wrong with having the things that we need. But ultimately, we ought to have spiritual investments and treasures laid up in heaven, right? Because we're ambassadors for Christ. This is just a temporary dwelling place. Bible says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. So we see first our title, how we got it, and what it means. But then I want you to notice quickly our task. Look at verse number 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Here it is. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's our task. That is our job. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You know what our job is? It's for you and I to bring men back to God. Our job is for you and I to go and draw men, compel men to get and come back to God, to show them there's another way, to show them that they can, that Jesus has paid the price and paved the way back to God. It's our responsibility. We're under the obligation by God to fill this position. Ephesians chapter 3, 1, Paul says this, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Now, Paul there refers to himself as a prisoner. He literally looks at that position as being in bonds to it. He says in chapter 4, also verse 1, there I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. He says again in Ephesians chapter number 6, verse number 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Paul said, I'm debtor, both to the Jew and the Greek, both to the wise and the unwise. In other words, you know what Paul says? I owe the world a gospel witness. I'm debtor. Paul said, I'm in bonds here. He's given to you and I the ministry of reconciliation. That's an ambassador's task. That's what you and I are to do. Now, how do we do it? Well, an ambassador lives in an embassy. Think about this. They live in an embassy. Our English word embassy comes from the same root word as ambassador, because really it's ambassador. When you look it up, it tells you it's the most proper way, ambassador, and it's the same root word as embassy. You know the church is the embassy, our embassy, the embassy of heaven, right? It's the embassy from another country. It's God's headquarters here on earth. Just like that embassy over there in another country is the headquarters for America. This is God's headquarters, the house of God. The embassy, watch this, it's a bit of America on foreign soil. That's what it is. It's the only America that there is there at that place is that embassy. And the church can be and should be a little bit of heaven on earth. It's God's headquarters. It's our embassy. It's the closest thing we get here on earth to a heavenly city. It's our earthly headquarters for heaven, the church, the house of God. We sing and we worship Christ like we will be doing, and they are doing there in heaven. And so many things we could talk about there, the fact that this, as the church, is our embassy. The ambassador, watch this, he resides, he lives with others from his homeland. He don't hang around with all the foreigners. He don't go out with all those other, but he lives, he resides with others from the homelands. You and I live with others from that heavenly city, right? We reside with others from that heavenly city. We fellowship with others who are saved and Christians and blood bought. At the embassy, what's this? Think about this. They work out strategies to carry out the objectives that the king represents. They work out strategies at that embassy. That's what they're doing. They're figuring out strategies. They're figuring out how can we carry out what the king wants us to carry out back in our country. You know what that is here? Sunday school, bus ministry, junior church, revival meeting, bus conference. We're coming up with a strategy to try to fulfill God's plan here on earth. It's our strategy to help us keep the King's objective. It's our plan of how we're going to reach the world for Christ. Something else, think about this. This is great. I'm thinking about this. At the embassy, they send back messages to the King regarding their needs and their help. They send back messages to the King regarding their needs and their help. What's that? That's prayer. We send back messages to the King to help us. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help." When? In our time of need. I'm glad we can send our needs, we can send our requests right back to God, right back to our King, and we know that He tells us, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not." He tells us in James, "You have not because you ask not." We can go to the God of heaven from the country in which we reside and ask. We can send the petitions back to help us with our needs. At the embassy, they gain encouragement from their co-workers. I want to tell you, most of those people that live in whatever that country is, whether it be Benghazi or some other country, the folks in the embassy, they're not going to get a whole lot of encouragement from those people. Right? They're foreigners there. They don't even want them there. They just really wish they'd get out of there. And can I tell you something? In this world, as you and I walk through it as Christians, as children of God, we're not going to get a whole lot of encouragement from this world. There's not going to be a lot of people patting you on the back who are lost and telling you, "Well, just keep going on for God. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't look for encouragement from this world." But their encouragement comes from those that they live with, those that encourage one another there in the embassy. And the Bible tells you and I as well, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That means encouraging one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Encouragement comes from inside that embassy. That's all that encouragement that they have when they are there on that foreign soil. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." There are so many more things I could say to you about those things. I want to say this: an ambassador helps those who wish to transfer their citizenship to his country. Sometimes folks will come and say, "Man, especially, I mean, you think every country in the world, what do they want to be? The folks want to be Americans." And it's an ambassador's job to help them in that transition process. He shows the candidates what requirements that there are. You see, the thing that I really love about you and I as ambassadors helping others, there are no age requirements. There are no color requirements. There are no race requirements. There are no social status requirements. Listen, all you got to do is realize you're a sinner, realize Jesus Christ died for your sin, and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart, forgive your sin by faith, trust Him as Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9 says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." As an ambassador, you and I have the duty of showing others how they can become a member, a citizen of our country, the heavenly country. We see our title, we see our title, our task, our tidings. It says He's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's our tidings, that's our message, the word of reconciliation. Many things we could talk about there. And then, but I want you to look lastly, our test. Look at verse number 10 of our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I hope you'll pay attention to this. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." There's a test coming. The Bible says in Corinthians chapter 3, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. I say often, when the Lord comes back, even dealing with church or whatever ministry you're in, it's not going to be what size it is. But when the Lord comes back, it's going to be what sort it is. You see, you knock out the walls and bring in the bands and do all those things, but we're going to be our works will be tried by fire of what sort it is, not size. You know why our world's so messed up? You know why sin is running so rampant throughout our nation? Because we, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we're the ones that He's left here to do His bidding. And we're failing. We're failing. You know, the Bible says very clearly that God's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. The Bible says Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. The Bible tells us clearly that the Lord, He says, Jesus said He'd have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, right? So we know that Jesus wants all men to be saved. So I asked you this tonight, this morning. Did God's plan fail? Or did God's people fail? You see, I still believe that Jesus' blood can cleanse every sinner from all his sin. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from what? All sin. I still believe that His grace is sufficient. I still believe His Word's enough. I still believe the gospel still works. So what's the problem? We are ambassadors for Christ. The reason that, you see, we stand back, I'm saying we stand back and we look at the world, we look at the television, we see what comes down the pike every single day, something new, and we talk about how bad it is and how horrible those people are. But God never told them to do anything. He said to me, He said to you, you've been reconciled to God. Now, you are an ambassador. You are a representative. We failed to do our job. We've been caught up in other things. We've gotten sidelined by other things. We've gotten our eyes on other things. And we've allowed those other things to keep us from fulfilling our task. Jesus paid it all. He's already provided reconciliation. You and I are just supposed to bring men back to God. He's already paved the way. He's already paid the price. We're literally to be the voice of God. He said, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, or instead of Christ, we're coming to you, Paul said. Be you reconciled to God. It's you and I who are to stand in the gap. And every person in this building has family that's lost. Every person in this building's got friends that are lost. Every person in this building has people that you work beside every single day, or you walk by, we come in contact with, who are lost. Who's supposed to tell them? How are they supposed to hear that God has reconciled man to Himself by Jesus Christ? Who's going to tell them? Who's going to come to them with a message of good news, with a ministry that been entrusted to us? We have the word, he says, of reconciliation as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 3:18 says this, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked of his wicked way, that same wicked man will die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. There will be a test as to what kind of ambassadors we've been. Our works will be tried by fire, whether good or bad, whether faithful or unfaithful. Did we and are we fulfilling our task? Did we carry the right tidings? Did we live up to our title as ambassadors for Jesus Christ? Let's all stand for prayer. I'll tell you, as an ambassador for Christ, with that kind of, I'm glad he didn't just leave us to ourselves, but we have the Holy Spirit of God. But with that kind of responsibility,